Okay. So tonight we're going to move into a discussion. I'm going to begin with a meditation, as I have done the last two classes. And then we're going to move into a discussion about the bracketing process. I hope some people will feel courageous or willingness to be a little vulnerable and explain, you know, share a little bit about their own process with the bracketing. And I'll name a few more things around the bracketing process. And then I'll go into the 38 steps, and we'll spend, so we'll probably spend the first 40 minutes on the bracketing process, and then we'll move the last 45 minutes into the 38 steps. Okay, so let's start with a meditation. It's always helpful for coming in here, settling in. So let's just sit quietly and breathe for a few minutes. As you allow yourself to settle in, I'd like you to say to yourself, there is no life but this one. Life is a single thing. There are not two lives, one where I am separate and disconnected from all of life, and one where I am connected to all of life in relationship to the unity, singularity of life. Yes, life is sometimes confusing and at other times clear. Sometimes I am happy and sometimes I am unhappy. Sometimes I like what's going on in my life. Sometimes I don't. But still, life is a single thing. Right now, I am willing to be with life in all of its various unfoldings. Just for this moment, I'm going to let myself be here. This doesn't mean that things will remain the same, since life is continually changing. But right now, I'm willing to receive my life exactly as it is, in the state that it's in. Even if I can only do this a little bit, and I feel my resistance to doing this, by being here in my life as it is, I simultaneously am able to open up to the place where all of reality can help me to change what I need to change. Dance of change and acceptance takes place in the present moment, here and now. Which which is the only place where support for healing and transformation can enter in. As we settle into this place, this moment right here, I'd like to open up our discussion about the bracketing process that you've been working with so far, the movements that we've made of inclusion, inviting everything in to do with who we are, the ambiguity and uncertainties of things, and the bracketing process where we wrestled with our desires and our longings and the conflicts and issues of our lives, and where we struggled to both be open to it in the state that it was in while also opening to change and transformation, where we claimed what was real for us, which included feeling our resistances, our confusions, our lostness, and our clarity, where we opened ourselves up to the many dimensions of the issues that we were working with, where we might have started off with a clear view, we got confused and then became more clear as we went along, or we might have started off confused and allowed ourselves to drop through and find something new, some other place of wisdom. So what I'd like to do is simply open it up. I'd like to see if there are questions about the bracketing process. I'd like to hear, what it was like for you to work with it in this way. Like I said, we're going to have a little time for sharing. I want to have enough time to go fully into the 38 steps, but I really want to hear this process, the steps of it. So I'm going to push and unmute everyone. If it gets too loud, then I'll mute everyone again and then just ask each person who wants to speak to unmute. But we'll try this and see what it's like first. Kathy, you can hear me? Everything
yes,
I said clear so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Kathy, you don't have to, but would you like to share anything? If not, I'll go on to everyone else, but I'll offer it to you first.
Could I see a short bracketing that I did?
Sure.
Because it was very, very, very helpful for me. IKH taught classes where you could, it was called Spiritual Leadership. And
okay.
Hold on.
I want to make sure, can everyone hear Kathy well? Because there's a little noise in the background, but I just want to make sure, do I need to mute everyone again, or can everyone hear Kathy? Okay. Yes.
I can hear her, but it's a little fuzzy.
Okay. I'm going to mute everyone. Kathy, I'm just going to ask you to star 6 as soon as I do that, because that way everyone can hear you clearly and we don't have the background noise. Okay. So, Kathy, you can push star 6, please, darling.
Okay. I just did.
Fantastic. I can hear you.
So, I wanted to do some classes that I learned at ASOS called the Spiritual Leadership Program.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a lot of resistance inside me. And so
mm-hmm.
this is what I wrote. I want to do the Kabbalah classes and feel so much resistance. I want to move I want to move on this, yet I feel paralyzed. And what struck me when I wrote that was, I want and I feel paralyzed. I want to do the classes even if the paralyzed is there. Is my paralyzed about a kind of negative uncertainty, not the one you talked about where it could open something, but I wondered if the paralyzed was about the uncertainty around doing classes and how that scared me.
Mm-hmm.
Does ambiguous stop me from getting my want? Is paralyzed related to the ambiguity? And then I looked up ambiguous, and it said more than one. It says more than one meaning. And mm-hmm. then something hit me. I wrote, is it my want that has more than one meaning? My wanting is at half steam. It all feels jumbled, not strong at all. It's like more of me is peeking and hiding, kind of peeking out, full of fear. Huge. I want to run and keep running. The paralyzed and the wanting are not opposite, as I thought in the beginning. The want is a cardboard saint with no bones. I am in love with the NKH work, yet being visible, not just with this work, with the public, but also in the community, hurts. Like it hurts to take a step to start a class. I feel pain taking the steps to be visible. I think I only take these steps out into the world. It's all on me. It's not the visible as much as how alone I feel. I'm alone, and I don't know that I'm alone. This is so tiring. I am profoundly tired from how alone I feel. Help me remember I am not separate from you. And then what happened was, after I did this was Sunday, by Monday night I had done a pretty huge mailing out to my mailing list for clients, and by Wednesday the class was full. If I hadn't done this, there's no way. Mm-hmm. I would have got the mailing together or mm-hmm. filled class. No way at all. Wouldn't mm-hmm. have happened. Mm-hmm. But what I realized was, I feel like I'm doing this all alone. And mm-hmm. that made me so sad that mm-hmm. I'm not, like you started off with the meditation. It's one. Right. Yet I feel so separate in that it's all up to me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But I go there so easily.
Well, we all go there so easily, sweetie. We go there whether it's because the desire we want is so intense in us, and then we remember historically when, you know, our parents said no to us, or the world seemed to say no to us when we wanted something badly. Or we think that we have to want something, and we have to be so completely clear and precise and kind of pure about it that we have to erase all doubts and fears. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
It turns out that actually the ability to show up with your desires is means to show up with your uncertainties, your doubts, your fears. You know, so what I heard in there was this human being named Kathy came into the space, and she allowed the ones who were deeply afraid inside of her to appear right alongside the ones who love life, love this work, and want to come into life.
Right.
That's exactly the process.
Right. Yep. I was surprised at the changes that took place in it. You know, I was so convinced that the wanting was, you know, so alive and realized it was terrified.
Right. 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 That's, again, a sign to me that I'm working the bracketing process, is that I'm surprised. That, because that's the place where I'm with the known, but the unknown also enters in, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised to find one in me who's afraid, or I'm surprised to find one in me who thinks something different, or one in me who goes this way, or whatever. And that's one of the ways I know that I'm awake to it, that I'm actually working with it. It isn't, it's not static or fixed or frozen. It's actually moving and very alive, because more voices enter in, more, you know, places, more of me shows up. Yay, Kathy!
Thanks, Linda.
So thank you for sharing, sweetie.
Now, how do I unmute star 6 again?
Yes, star 6 to mute yourself back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So I'd like to encourage others, star 6. I'd like to hear questions you have, thoughts you have about this process.
And this is Sudha here.
Hey, Sudha.
First week, what you gave us, the homework, I was able to stay with for 1 week around the uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
The theme is my individual desire to move to a new house.
Mm-hmm.
So it went around with landing up in one place.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to resolve the house moving situation, manifest a new beautiful home for a long term. I'm tired of this constant moving. Manifest a beautiful home in a way that works for me and my healing practice and for my sons, Karthik and Vamsi, with dependent and healthy interdependency. Financially, the words are started coming financially, physically, emotionally, which includes...
Let me repeat a little bit of it, sweetie, just because you got a little fast right there, so it was a little harder to heal. You wanted to manifest it so that it worked financially and individually for you as well as your sons.
Physically, emotionally, which includes uncertainty.
Okay, physically,
and there is a part of me
which
is not trusting. When we talked about that, opening myself, trusting and relaxing, I found out how difficult it is for me, so I included that.
Right, you had to include
I want
the
to be able to open myself, trusting.
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm just repeating some of it because it does run a little fast. So, and you had to include the one in you that contracts, that doesn't trust. That
doesn't trust and relaxes. Yes.
Uh huh. Okay.
And believing and seeing that there is always possibility of life.
Okay.
So at that week, I think I just put there. Uncertainty and certainty meeting point is built within my believing and not believing.
Okay, you're believing and not believing, your certainty and uncertainty. Okay, I hear that.
Yeah, so I stayed there for 1 week. Lots of stuff started moving up. My first son, second son moved. It's in the life situation itself manifested. My second son moved away and then he came back. Then my first son wanted to pull it away. So the third week, I started doing this week after last week what I got the bracketing and all from you.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, when I wrote the whole thing on my computer, it got erased.
Your computer, it got erased? Is that what you're saying?
Erased, yeah. I just wanted to share it now, so I was just writing for this class. The whole thing, it just erased by mistake. I said, whoa, then where I landed up here is, because the time is getting now, the pressure started building, I wanted to bring it here. So 10 minutes before, the stages is, how can we move to a new house where all of three of our needs are met without giving in? Is it even possible to work out our differences? which include our individual neuroses, mm-hmm. differences and unity, and working on being in relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So there I ended up with my breathlessness, with my pressure. It's like body thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's where then I said, first let me go to the class, so I dialed in the number.
Well, I find the organic way that you describe the process to be delightful. I mean, I can hear the frustration, obviously, when it disappears, but nonetheless, it feels delightful because it feels like there was something probably within the process as you were working it that had probably some kind of frozenness within it, or it wasn't as alive as it could be, or something like that. And what happened in it disappearing, because you know that happens in life, is that you dropped to a different place where it became more of a question, and the question of how can you do this, which actually feels more healing in this moment for you, because sometimes when we get, you know, sometimes it's a question we land with, sometimes it's a statement. But sometimes when I'm going to a statement too hard, there's a lot of pushing, there's a lot of self-will, there's a lot of me trying to make things happen, me insisting upon, that often will happen with me. And so I sometimes find that a question is a better way because it has more of both my ability to be where I am, how I started off tonight, the ability to be exactly where I am while simultaneously being very open to change. And I want both of those, and sometimes that happens, you know, in a statement, but sometimes it happens better in a question because I can name where I am and I can really open up to change. And that's what I heard in what you did, sweetie. So I love it.
Thank you, Brenda. I'm going to unmute now.
Okay. Open it up to another
hi,
question.
Brenda,
sharing?
Yes. Hi, Brenda. This is Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Fantastic week. Really lots of movement. I love what you just said about the question thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've always noticed that when I do the bracketing, when I start with I want, I fall into I don't know what I want. And when I stay with that, I realize it's because I'm scared to name a single thing,
mm-hmm.
and I want to put in my bracketing statement everything. You know, don't leave out a tiny corner of the universe lest, you know, you have this change, but God doesn't hear that you actually also want this change as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes mm-hmm. overwhelming. So the mm-hmm. questions, when you were doing the questions last week,
mm-hmm.
how is it that I can do this? How? It felt so spacious.
Mm-hmm.
And freeing and also loving as
mm-hmm.
well the way
mm-hmm.
you were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just practicing the bracketing process in that way this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran through some questions. How can I be present with my terror, my confusion? In the face of other people's wisdom is where I realized I was standing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I only realize that now. And I followed this line of questioning through and got to a place where I couldn't move any further.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but I thought, okay, let the paint dry, walk off. And my last question to myself was something like, how can I allow what I know to be true and be present and be expressed and be part of my being? How can I follow through after I know this? So, you know, I put that to one side and think, look, I'll come back. And on Friday, I had an experience. I went to a workshop, and it really wasn't a very structured workshop. And I did my usual strategic thing. Again, I don't see this till afterwards, where I'm sitting open using my intuitive sense and my great hunger for knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm beruditically knitting, like I'm taking, hang on, change the language. I'm taking pieces of what I think is available and I'm knitting it together instead
mm-hmm.
of being taught. And at the end of the workshop, did I actually hear anything there?
Mm-hmm.
Did I get anything new? So
mm-hmm.
then I follow through with the evaluation process, and then I do a come home, and I'm in this place of, I need to say more, I need to do something. But I let myself again sit with the movement inside me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know I have to come back with a follow-up email to the evaluation and say that I didn't see that the workshop was structured enough for me to receive base-level knowledge on this particular subject, which is what
mm-hmm.
I'd gone for. And it was as though just asking those questions in the Magi process,
mm-hmm.
the answer was not a voice saying, well, it's because, or I'll tell you how you follow through, this and this and this. Right? I'm being moved by my questions, by the bracketing process in and of itself, but I don't know this
mm-hmm.
until I've sent the email, I've processed what my, you know, that sense of discernment, I'm like, hang on a minute, I think I just didn't get anything, but I used my strategies to kind of make that workshop okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then sent this email, and then looked at my bracketing process and then thought, look, that's how. That's how you follow through. That's how you be present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Beautifully said, Sarah. I mean, it works you. Again, it's not just all up to you, what Kathy was saying. And what happens when you show up in this way, you know, as I said in the meditation, when we show up in this way where we are both located with where we are and we simultaneously open up to change, then reality can support us, and reality does enter in, does support us, all of life, in whatever ways it's going to do it. And it can be so extremely organic, like you just described. It's not like I got you didn't get a burning bush, you didn't get a voice from the sky, you know, it wasn't some, you know, massive thunderbolt. It was you in the process of life, because life being a single thing, you in the process of life, and it informed you. You saw something. You saw something different. You saw something different about how you showed up. You saw something different about what was actually at play. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's natural, like the seasons, you know, like a breeze. That's what it feels like to me. It's just
yeah.
natural.
You're right. It is not separate from what is. From what
right.
is right for my eyes, from what I'm doing on a daily basis.
Right.
There's no separation. And one last, this actually occurred to me first when I was doing the bracketing process, which was I suddenly got a sense that each thing that I was looking at, each, let's say, problem or symptom or presentation that I wanted to look at and pick apart or work the process on, suddenly started to unravel itself, and it showed up as the thing itself. I don't know that I'm explaining myself very well, but what I mean is suddenly it was devoid of all narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there as a, huh, you
mm-hmm.
have a pain in your side. It wasn't, I have a pain in my side, and I'm going to get old and decrepit and have to walk with a cane, and
mm-hmm.
I'll never get Social Security. And, you know, that's the mechanism that can happen to me when
mm-hmm.
I have an issue. It's not the thing itself. It's the thing and everything I've laid over the top of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So everything started to, these issues, whatever,
right.
started to come back to being, huh, they're not that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I've made them that.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a pain,
mm-hmm.
an ache in my side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was very, very freeing again.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a beautiful thing that you're describing, Sarah. I mean, because we... one of the great gifts that human beings have is the gift of imagination, which can include story making, can include, you know, envisioning something, poetry and, you know, dance and all these kind of things. It's one of the great gifts we have. But what we also sometimes do is we use our imagination in the service of just one part of ourselves, the one that's the most afraid or the one that's most, you know, not trusting, the one that is, or the one, it could be arrogance, you know, the one who, you know, is sure that, you know, I'm right and the whole rest of the world is wrong. But what you're describing is that when you are able to be located where you are and you open up to change, then again that naturalness enters in. So you can experience something, but you don't have to go run wild with it. You don't have to make up three stories about what's actually happening. You're able to just experience what's there. I mean, it's a very subtle thing, but it turns out it's a very natural process, and it actually helps us to relax more and trust ourselves and trust life more. But it's sometimes not easy for us because we've learned to, you know, try to use our will to make certain things happen. And it's a healing, transformative, awakening process. And I like hearing what you're saying.
Thanks, Brenda.
So thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, that process is not separate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the neurotic state, the symptom and then the extrapolation, they're not separate, but this, the MAGEI process, allows us to see this is the thing, and all that is kind of
right.
Imagination, story making.
Right.
Brilliant.
But, yeah, again, it teaches me that I'm, again and again, that life is a single thing. So the one in me that's contracted and neurotic or crazy or afraid is not separate from the one in me that's wise and trust and is able to be present in life. And when they're not separate, when they're not in opposition to each other, it's healing, regardless.
Mm.
Not magical, but it is precious. Not always easy, sometimes quite hard. Again, those two things can appear, but also transformative and healing.
Yeah. Thanks.
So thank you, darling.
Thank you. I'll mute myself.
Okay. Have time for maybe one more, maybe two more, depending on the questions or depending on what is there to be shared, before we move on to the 38 steps. Anyone perhaps had a difficult time with it? I'd love to hear that. I mean, I know that takes courage to share, but having a difficult time with it is equally as important as finding delight in it. So if you're having, if you had a real struggle with it, I'd like to hear that as well.
Brenda, it's Candy.
Hey, Candy.
I didn't have such a problem with the actual, you know, the bracketing, like the sitting down and doing, writing down, and, you know, I started with a statement that I found my statement, and I worked it through, and I came up with something that, and it came down to something, and it expanded. I had different thoughts, and that felt okay. But what was the real kicker was what it did to my life after that. And that was really uncomfortable. It really, doing the bracketing process didn't feel, had no real sense of how profound what was happening in me was as a result of having done that while I was doing it. I didn't know that. Does that make sense? Is that
sure.
clear?
Mm-hmm.
So in the time, in the days that followed, the way I responded to a difficulty that's been present in my life for a long time and a big difficulty was very different.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things was that I came up with ways to respond to it that were radical. I mean, I didn't
mm-hmm.
say, well, now this is what I'm going to do, but this is like, wow, I could do this, and oh, my God, I could do that. And I actually didn't really send it back to, I didn't really recognize that the source of it as the bracketing.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at the whole thing together, it was. Because
mm-hmm.
I started to think about, well, wait a minute, what if I did this and what if I did that and I could do this. And
mm-hmm.
so the first thing that happened was all of these radical possibilities that I would never have never thought of in years of thinking about this problem came up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The second, and I felt braver. I felt braver about contemplating them. I was mm-hmm. like, wow, I might actually do that. And I could feel that instead of, even if the thought of doing something that radical and getting into trouble about it, but like I could stand in the fear of getting into trouble about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other thing after that happened, then I also started to have a sense of, instead of this problem being so overwhelming and all of these kind of scattershot, well, I could do this and I could do that, then it started to coalesce into four, I would say three or four either questions or things that or things that needed to be worked with
mm-hmm.
before that the thing that I thought, that the question that I brought, which was, what do I want to do with the rest of my life?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a, you know,
mm-hmm.
small question. No, but that wasn't the question. It was, that really was the question. There really was the question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, that's the question. But what I began to understand is that isn't really what's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to talk about the tree. That was a little bit of a distraction of making it bigger and making the problem over, making my situation overwhelming and making the question big enough that I didn't want to sit with the things that were really, I didn't want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So by the bracketing process, it took it out of that bigness and that globalness, that global quality, that overarching philosophical huge quality, and it came down to, wow, this piece of what I need to, what I don't want to look at is huge. I need to look at this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know. I can't answer that question until I know more about these other things that are here and need and are asking to be looked at and to be mm-hmm. to be thought about.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully said, Candy. I mean, explicitly said. You know, I often find that happens with the bracketing process. You know, the example I gave last week, you know, I really did want to work with something with the world, and so I did that. But I was very aware that there were two or three other things that appeared, and that those I needed to back up and go and work with those too. So I did that final one that I had, and I took that through 38 steps. But I also went back later on this last week, and I've worked with the other two issues. And I find that happens. I find that sometimes, you know, our tendency, as you said, is to go very big or skip ahead 5 steps, and then we have to bring ourselves back, you know, 5 steps, or bring ourselves back to the smallness. And the opposite can happen. Sometimes we find ourselves getting very contracted and very intensely around and working and trying to control something, and we have to open up to the unknown and let other possibilities appear to us. So both things are true. But the way you said it, it's exquisite.
It happened both ways. I mean, at first it actually... The question came out of a specific problem in my life.
Right.
That seems to be in the way of doing what I want with the rest of my life. And then I thought, well, I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
So then all of this expansion happened, and all of these this fireworks of, well, I could do this, and I could move here, and I could buy this, and I could build this, and I could go over here, and I could get rid of this. And after I let all of that work itself out, then it calmed down into this, you know. So it did both. It was really...
Mm-hmm.
That was just one process. I'm afraid to do a second one.
It's okay. I mean, you know, sometimes I need to do the process, and I find that I just need to let it go. I've done it once, and I need to walk away for a week or 10 days and let it organically work me, and then I come back, you know. So there's no pressure that you have to take on more than you can take on. You know, you're working with what you can work with, and we all have, you know, limitations of, you know, of life and, you know, what feels right to us to do within it. I find I touch back into it again and again. You know, I do it several times in a month because it, again, informs me, teaches me, takes me places that are important for me. But if I push too hard at it, then it's just my will again trying to make it happen the way I want it to. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Candy. Thank you very much. That was great. So these are both
These are all fantastic examples that you guys have shared, and I hope others who haven't shared, you'll take in some of these things, that there are many different nuances that show up as you work with it. I was going to say this at the end of the conversation today, but I can say it again at the end. But I've opened up on my website, which I hope you probably saw in the last letter, in which you got a copy of the recording and you got a copy of the bracketing process that I did last time. There was also a link where you could connect to my website, and you guys can basically share. It's a forum where people can share their experiences with the Magi together. You can also ask questions, and I'll respond. It may take me a little bit, depends on how many I get, but this is a way to begin to work with it together and let some of that come out and share. But again, I'll talk about that again at the end, because I also talk about something else that I want to do at the end. Okay. So I'm going to move us now to the 38 steps, because I want to have time to talk about that. Because the Magi process is obviously not complete without going to the 38 steps. So when we've landed somewhere, wherever it is that we've landed in the bracketing process, whether that's a question, a statement, we've landed. It feels like it's finished at the moment, whatever that is. And then what we do, the 38 steps, let me say, speak about the 38 steps. 38 steps, as I mentioned, and I think this is in the very first call, the 38 steps, in many ways, it is the way that poetry can describe something that goes on in life or creation. And it brings us into a direct experience, which is what the Magi process does. So it's not a straightforward, statement in which everyone's going to have the same experience every time. It brings you into a particular experience of that moment. And the experiences have similarities to them, but there's also difference. So like the weather, we all have, there's weather. And weather, it can be rainy, it can be sunshiny, it can be rainy and windy, it can be cold, it can be hot, it can be many different variations. But we could basically say it's all weather. So you're going to have an experience of weather. So when you get to these steps, as you go through it, you're going to have certain kinds of similarity. It's like that experience. So it's like wind. But wind has many subtleties to it. Sometimes it's like a little soft breeze just gently blowing your hair. Sometimes it's hurricane force winds. Sometimes it's, in between that. It's like the wind comes through and it blows hard, and then it's just gentle and it kind of shifts multiple times throughout a day. The same thing is true of this process. The steps take you into certain kinds of things. Those of you who've ever worked with poetry, haiku is something that I often think explains, because it's a very few words, but it points to something. So 100 years ago, I'm going to make it that, I was doing some kind of workshop, and I used haiku to try to describe my father. Now, I don't remember what the haiku, the whole thing was, but it was something along the lines of sky, sun at noon, corn drying in the field. It was something like that. And that was a direct experience of a part of my relationship with my father. One, my father was a farmer, but it also had it was a direct experience of the place where there always felt like a distance between me and my father. A place where it always felt kind of hot or intense, a place where it also felt that it didn't have a lot of moisture to it, but it had a certain kind of dryness to it. And that was part of my relationship with my father. So the same thing is true with this. You're going to experience certain kinds of things as you go through these 38 steps. And it will be different depending on both the issue that you're working with, what you brought to the table, as well as, how you feel about yourself in that moment, that space, where you are. So, for instance, if I revisit that haiku that I wrote about my father, today I would see it more. I would see it very differently. I would see that attempt that we had to try to reach each other, and the struggles we had in doing it, and how that we both had this place where there wasn't enough fluidity, where there wasn't enough always understanding between each other. So, you know, as you go through life, you see different nuances of it. Same thing is going to be true as you go through the 38 steps. What we do with the 38 steps is we've come to this place. We've landed with whatever, as I said, the statement or a question. And we then read the very first step. Now, sometimes I read them out loud. Sometimes I read them silently. It varies for me. The point for me is that I actually want to feel it. I want to experience that step. So I want to feel whatever sensations it brings up in my body. I want to feel where my head goes, you know, if it goes to 20 other thoughts. I want to feel what my heart, you know, what, emotionally, what does it bring up in me. So I want to be awake to all of those kinds of things, my heart, mind, you know, body, spirit. I want to be awake to what I actually feel with each step. And sometimes I find that if I speak it out loud, it helps me feel it more clearly. And sometimes if I say it silently, it helps me feel it more clearly. It depends. I don't really know why that's true in terms of why one moment one's way and one way is the other way. I suspect it has to do with where there's something about the inside and outside relationship and where it's something I'm trying to move more fully out in the world versus something I need to understand more internally. I suspect it has to do with that, but, you know, I just trust it, and so I work with it in that way. But you've got this issue, and you can feel this basic thing that you're bringing, and you don't need to keep reminding yourself of what the issue is. What your final statement is as you go through the 38 steps. You just state it out loud usually once or, you know, once or twice, and you can really feel your question in your system, in your body. And then you go, first the barrier of angry earth plane vectors. So first the barrier of angry earth plane vectors, I'm going to say to you, it has to do with resistance, meaning the resistance that exists that's built into the earth. Thing and resistance meaning that things are designed to maintain a form. So when you look at a tree, the tree doesn't suddenly disappear and become something else. You know, scientists can talk to you about the atoms and the way things are moving and things aren't really as solid as we think they are. You can hear all these other and how cells are dying and stuff is changing, but we don't experience all those things. What we experience is a solidity. A density of it's solid, it's here, this form, it's being maintained. The tree is the same tree. Same thing is about ourselves. Same thing is about all material form. They don't just blink in and out for us. So it's saying that at this level, there is a resistance that's built in that isn't about, you know, what you personally want or don't want, but has to do with that when a form is created, whatever the form is, whether it's an emotional form or physical form or mental form, a series of thoughts, they have a tendency to want to stay in that form, stay in that shape. Resistance to change. Anyone who works with change in the world, anyone who works with, you know, processes of change knows that that's true. You know, you bring a group of people together, and there's always a group of people who want it to stay exactly the way it's always been, even as a whole group of other people say it doesn't work. It's built in, so we just need to know that. And so that we don't take it on board as like it means I shouldn't do something or read other things into it. It's just built in, the resistance. Second step, admit to danger. This is a place, again, where ambiguity enters in. I don't know what's going to happen because I've decided to enter in this process. I don't know how it's going to shift and change. I don't know how it's going to inform me. And the reason it's danger, meaning that to the part of us that wants to be in control, that wants to make things go exactly the way we want it to go, we have to admit to the danger of when you enter into a creative process. You know, you put 10 people in a room and you enter into a creative brainstorming process. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea if they're going to fight with each other. You have no idea, you know, what's going to go on. So we have to admit that's true, admit to the danger. the uncertainty of what will happen. But then it says, do not be afraid, but oak big and deeply rooted. And if you really let yourself feel that step is saying, let yourself be rooted in life. This is, again, the singularity of life. Let yourself be rooted in life to feel how you are included in all of life, that life is in you and outside of you, and it's one thing. Let yourself be rooted in that. Let yourself be here now, as I was, you know, with the meditation I gave you in the beginning. Let yourself really be located here and now with what's going on, things in the state that they're in, while simultaneously opening to change. Step four, remember the mother and not only the father. Now, this is not about our personal mother and father, but it often invokes our personal mother and father. For people, what often appears is images to do with how our mother was and how our father was and what our relationship with them was like and how they supported our desires or felt like they thwarted our desires. These things appear, and that's all important and natural. Whatever appears, appears. So if that's part of what appears, you know, my mother never wanted me to be happy, or my father always wanted me to do this and I never wanted to do that. Whatever it is, just let it appear. The step is really about, if we look at mother and father in the world in a broader sense, mother being, if you think of the womb, if you think of a container, the mother is a container. There's a form, there's a shape, there's things in the state that they're in. The father having more of that thrusting forward energy, that moving things into different states, you know, change. So both are here, that process of where something is exactly in the state that it's in and change is also there. But it's saying remember the mother. And basically it's saying honor the form that's here. Honor the container that's here. Honor, you know, the thing that's in the shape that it's in, not just where you want it to go, but honor the state that it's in right now. It's had some intelligence in it. Even if it doesn't make you fully happy right now, even if it's not where you really want to go, it's had some reason for being. So honor it. Do not make plans. Do not let plans make you. We're making a plan. You know, it's like, how does that work? So immediately the brain begins to go, you know, because we have made a plan. We've said, you know, here's my question, here's my statement, you know, this is the direction I'm going. But what it's saying in that moment again, it's saying, you're going to make a plan. I know that. But simultaneously, don't get too lost in your idea of what you think should be going on. Don't get too hard-headed, too in control of what you think should be happening. Don't get too fixed or forced or pushed or, you know, using your will, because that means you're not going to be open to whatever appears, whatever, you know, how it changes. The organic process of what the ladies who share tonight talked about. So it's saying, you know, don't let it take you over. Don't get too lost in it, even as you've decided where you want to go. Step number six, listen to the mother who's around you. Again, it's saying listen. Listening means that we're actually receiving what's there. We're actually willing to be informed by life itself. It's like different people talked about how they listened and they found themselves responding in a different way, and they didn't even know why, but that's what happens. So listen to the mother who's around you. It's talking about in creation, there is life going on. There are, you know, there's life all around you. There are millions of people. There are trees and plants and classes and places, and everything's going on. Listen. Really listen to what's actually happening here in the world. And it will teach you, because life is a single thing. listen to the Father who's within you. Means listen to the impulse in you, but trust the impulse in you that has a desire for change. You don't know where it's going to take you. You don't know what's going to happen, but trust. Let yourself trust in the moment. And that trust can include not trusting, can include resisting. But you're listening to this impulse towards change, towards movement, towards new life. And you recognize, you know, I have resistance to it. I don't know that I don't know what it even means to listen to that. You know, anything that appears is okay. We move fairly quickly through these steps. We don't spend ages. As quickly as I'm moving is actually how quickly they usually move. You just stop. You stay there long enough with each step to feel something, to feel sensations, to have a thought if a thought appears, for it to be silent and no thought appear, but to have some experience, some little experience, whatever that experience is, and then you move on to the next step because they unfold together. They move because they're a single thing and they're a process. So they move very integratedly together, one right after another. Listen to the language of sounds, beats, rhythms, drums, birds especially. Again, it's this listening. It's encouraging you to listen, receive, pay attention to what's here. You know, the sounds of life, the sounds of how life, you know, the sounds of horns, the sounds of rhythms, the sounds of the earth, the sounds of birds chirping, the sounds of birds flying in the air, the sound of the wind. Listen. The world's very rhythmic. It's speaking to life. Listen to it. Take it in. Let yourself, again, drop deeper into this place where you're in relationship with all of life. You're not just separate, doing it all alone, as you were talking about, Kathy. You're right here with all of life, participating in creation, because that's what you're doing. You're a being who is in life. The world will respond and signal. You know, sometimes what comes up for people in the beginning is, well, what does that mean, the world's responding and signal? I don't know that I trust that the world's going to respond and signal. Or I think the world's going to tell me no. The world's going to say, no, you can't have what you want. A lot of different things will appear at this statement, you know, of places where we feel thwarted by our desires and people thwarted in having what we want, and that we fear that nothing is there. Nothing is there for us, and we're all alone. There's a lot of things that can appear in that statement. Here's a statement that can feel very provocative, value war. What this really means is it has to do with conflict and how everything is in conflict. It's also part of life. And by valuing it, what it means, it doesn't mean go out there and get into war and kill off people, and it doesn't mean to get into battles with, you know, everyone around you. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that if we value the fact that there is a war that goes on inside of myself, that when I choose to move towards something new, there's always a conflict in me because some part of me wants to hang on to the old. So, you know, if you choose to be with one person, you know, you're saying no to other people. If you choose to take this job, you're saying no to that job. If you choose to live in New York City, you're saying no to living in Egypt. So everything that you say yes to in life, you're saying no to 20 other things, maybe 100 other things. But there's a war in that. There's a conflict in that. We often want to, you know, the proverbial have my cake and eat it too. You know, we often want one thing, but we want the other thing that's completely counter to it at the same time. So we want our complete freedom to do anything I want to do, and, you know, I want a committed relationship. You know, we want often different things. And what it's saying is give that a place inside of you, that for everything you've said you've wanted, for everything you've claimed, with this statement that you've said of, like, how can I do this, or how can I, or I want this, there are still conflicts inside of you. that say, no, not so fast. Maybe, you know, whatever it is. So it's saying just give it a place. Know that it's true. Don't be too quick to make peace, it's saying. The next step, and that's because it's saying, you know, don't be too quick to resolve that conflict that goes on inside of you, because there's often another piece of information in it. There's often something else to learn from it, some nuance, some subtlety about what I want, and letting myself see the different pieces of it. I'm going to stop in a minute, but I'm going to go through next couple of steps, and then I'll pause. Step 12, go out from the center and in from the world. You probably sit there and go, what the heck is that? this statement is a place that's very much about the movement that Kathy described. When you go out from the center, you go out from this place where, you know, you're the center of what you're working on, that it's all right here with you. But it's also this place where you can feel alone and isolated. It's all up to me. I've got to make something happen. It's me against the world. It's a place where you feel separate, whatever that is. So if we go out from the center and in from the world, and I feel this very physically, you know, this going out from the center and in from the world. In from the world means I let life in. It's not just me against the world. It's not just me separate from the rest of life. It's life in me, it's life outside of me, and it's a single thing. Life in, life out, everything's life. It's all life. And I have that unity, that space in which I'm not just pushing through life to make things happen. I'm engaging with life because life wants to change. Life wants to move towards wholeness. Life wants more aliveness and wholeness. So I want to move with that, but that means I have to let life in and I have to go out. I have to engage with the inside and the outside of the issue. I'm going to stop there because that was a lot, and pause and see if there's any significant question about those before I take you all the way through the 38 steps. You'll listen to this recording again. You'll learn new things as you do the process. You'll have the experiences you have, but I'm giving you some highlights of where it's going to take you. And this life process, and hopefully you can feel the dynamism, thank you, of the process and how alive it is and how it, you know, and how it moves and changes. So star 6 if you have any comment or question about what I've told you so far.
This is Ilana. I have a comment.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing that Daniel is not on the call tonight, but as you are talking, as you're saying aloud the steps, I just want to remind all of us to be kind with you, with ourselves as we're doing this.
Thank you for saying that, Ilana. That's beautiful. I'm sure Daniel would be fine if you took up his role of saying that. And no, he's not here tonight. So, absolutely, what you've said is completely true. The process fundamentally, in my experience, is very kind. Because it, again, takes me out of these places where I'm separate and cut off and isolated, and brings me more fully into life. So it feels very kind, very alive, very freeing. And simultaneously, what you're saying is that sometimes as we go through these steps, some of the experiences we can have may be more contracted, maybe memories that don't feel so good, that may be uncomfortable. And we do have to be kind to ourselves. We do have to say, okay, this is what I can experience now. You know, and sometimes when you're first learning the process, people can only go through the first 12 and then they need to stop. And they can't go through the next 38. It's true.
Yeah.
And that's fine, too. You can absolutely do that. Because feeling that kind, as much as we all want to be alive, you know, want to be engaged in our life, we also find it difficult because it's you know, we've learned to shut off certain movements. So that's perfectly acceptable to say that's as far as I can go. I know lots of people when they first learned it did 12 steps and they left it alone and the next day or the day after they went back in. And the only thing you need to do if you're going back in that way is you need to remind yourself of that issue. And you can start back at the step that you can start with the next step, step 13. You can start there. You don't have to go back to the very beginning. You just have to remind yourself of the issue that you were working with. And if it's changed some in the day that you were away from it or the 2 days that you were away from it, make note of that. Let yourself be awake to the fact that it's already changing some. So that's included in you moving into the next step. So thank you, darling.
Sure.
Okay. So the next step. Know there actually are machineries and mills working. You know, this has to do with the processes that are going on, you know, all the time. I mean, if you feel there's a, you know, there, it's the mechanisms, you know, the natural mechanisms that go on in life, you know, the natural mechanisms that lead to seasons, you know, of how things change and, you know, they move from spring to summer. You know, there's a mechanism. There's a natural mechanism going on within that. The fact that the earth itself is rotating, you know, around the sun, there's a mechanism. There are machinery mills. There's something going on that's keeping that going, that's keeping the sun in and for us to be stay in orbit doing it. So it's reminding us that life has these natural processes, that there's built in the process that allows, there's a built-in process that allows a baby to grow in a womb, to, you know, get toes and fingers and heart and liver and kidneys, be born and move from babyhood to toddlerhood to, you know, the going off to school to adolescence to adulthood. These are processes, dynamic machineries and processes that are going on all the time. And we tend to forget that, again, because we all have a tendency to think, you know, nothing happens unless I'm kind of making it happen. we tend to forget there's some natural processes that are actually going on and that even our desires, our longings, our wishes, our issues are part of that machinery. We tend to forget it. So 14, there are sunlit roads woven within the dark places. It's saying that within the contracted place that we have, within the confusion, within the lostness, within the pain, there's light. There is something, and by light it means there's something that is intelligent, that is, there's something in it. You know, we have a thing in the school where we talk about that we don't wipe out defensive mechanisms. You know, because our defensive mechanisms at one point saved our lives. They allowed us to survive certain things that happened in our early lives. And so they were intelligent. They may reach a place where they don't serve us anymore, but there was and is light woven within it. There was intelligence in it. There was something that was whole in it, that was an attempt to be alive, attempt to be free, an attempt to be oneself. And so it's saying that. So it's, again, reminding you that in whatever this contraction that you may feel in this, there's intelligence. Both are needed. That's often a hard step for people because it's often hard for people to take in. It's often hard for all of us, you know, as human beings, to take in that somehow contraction needs expansion, the clarity needs confusion, that, you know, lostness and sound come together. It's sometimes very hard for us as human beings to feel the truth of that. We tend to want just the sunshine, you know, and don't want rainy days. But if we look at life, if we only had sunny days, the world would be dry and dirt and, you know, desert, and nothing would ever grow. So rainy days are necessary. And that's the big thing in the world actually right now, you know, droughts everywhere, because the rain is necessary along with the sunshine. We might have a preference for sunshiny days. Hey, I can go to the beach. But rain is necessary for things to grow. It's saying the same thing. It's basically saying that they need each other. Rain and sun need each other. Light and dark, confusion and clarity, they need each other. We may not know. It may feel mysterious to us, but somehow they do need each other. The first gods to appear, the angry ones. The reason it's labeled that way, gods, is that what appears, and it kind of is like a god, meaning what it tends to appear at this stage are the places in us or the places we feel around us that say, basically, I know how the world should go. And if I was made king or queen or God, or, you know, if I was in charge of how reality should look, this is how it would look. And we all have that in us. You know, we all have that place in us, whether it's us telling ourselves what we should and shouldn't be doing, or us telling, you know, other people what they should or shouldn't be doing. You know, you can walk down the street and you can feel those impulses of someone criticizing someone else for, you know, their purple hair, you know, like, oh, no one should have purple hair in the world, or someone criticizing someone else for this or that. So that's what appears at this stage. It's the places in us that are convinced the world should only work a certain way. And you may not have a thought or feeling that comes. It may just be a sensation. But it is this, it's this place in us that does appear that thinks the world should be a certain way. And then it says, pay attention. Make mother, father your first appointment. Again, this isn't your personal mother and father, but that could be what shows up. But mother, father in this place, because remember, it's mother slash father in this step, is because it's about the unity or singularity of creation. It's saying, remember, make this the first thing that you want to move into, that even as this is part of you that is convinced you know how the world should go, what you really want to do is join with life. You really want to be in relationship to life, even if you don't want to be 100%, because none of us are going to be 100%, and nor should we be. That shouldn't be a goal. But, you know, pay attention. Notice that there is a unity. There is something here going on that's both mysterious and whole that we're a part of, that we're co-creating with life. That's what it's saying. The world is a series of unfinished sentences. They hang in midair. You know, at that step, again, you may have thoughts or feelings of it. You may just have a sensation. You may have no thoughts. It doesn't matter. You have whatever your experience is. But this step is about the fact that we often have real difficulty being with things being unfinished. That, you know, there's an impulse that we have towards moving to completion. You know, for some people, the completion is, I want to be done with dating, I want to be married. Then someone else, I've been married, but now I want to move to having children. And then someone else, I want my children to be whatever. So we all have this impulse to keep wanting to complete a cycle, to keep pushing ahead. And this sentence is saying that, yes, we'll complete things, you know, yes, we'll complete stages and cycles, that's inevitable. But it's also true that the world is filled with unfinished sentences, that for everything we complete, something new appears that's incomplete. For everything sentence that we finish, there's a pause, and there's another sentence that can come forward. So it's unfinished. It's incomplete. It's built in. that there is no static place that we can get to where everything is just perfect. Where it's just, I mean, perfect in the sense of being static, where it's, you know, there's no movement, there's no change, there's no, you know, that the world is filled with unfinished sentences. It's constantly moving. And then step 19, do not get ready for information only. Also be ready for what information is made of. You know, that's a, it's a mysterious statement, and you may get to it and go, huh? But it's, the statement is that we're often looking for, and I heard that in Candy's in particular, when she was talking. She didn't connect up that what was going on and how she was responding differently had anything to do with the Magi process, because she wasn't looking for just information. She wasn't looking for a burning bush. She wasn't looking for something that was going to say, you know, here's the information, here's what you're supposed to do. Instead, she was in touch with what it's made of, meaning that it's made of life. It's made of sound and movement and, you know, it's made of many different things, and that if you just work with it, the organic process works, and you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to understand everything. You don't have to get it to some particular kind of place in order for it to work you. It'll work you because it's natural. If you go out to search for allies to communicate with, you will only get half the story. Well, that sounds kind of mysterious, doesn't it? But really what it's saying is that if you go out to try to find people who will agree with you, that you're right and that the world should look a certain way, then you're only going to get half the story. You're only going to get, you know, it's like half the truth. You know, it's like going to a group of friends who you know will agree with you, and ignoring, not talking to anyone who might disagree with you because you're afraid to hear another point of view. So it's saying that there are other points of view and you want to allow them to enter in. With half the story, you have intent but no power. So do not search for allies. Let friends and enemies become your allies, each wanting your intelligent companionship. Again, this is poetry, but what it's saying is that if you can let yourself open to change, to be exactly where you are while simultaneously opening to change, then points of view that you might not have heard before will enter in and they become an ally. They become part of what's going on. They're not something that you have to resist or kill off or stop. You can do something radical. Again, what Candy's example, I felt exactly like Kathy's as well, but, you know, Candy's was very much, she was like feeling these radical possibilities for herself. That's what happens within it. When you hold as your intent to help the world not destroy itself, friends and enemies in the other world laugh together. That is, if you let yourself know the friends and enemies. That stuff's often very silent for me. But it's, you know, I'm feeling my intent to not split myself apart, to not split the world apart, to not kill off any part of me or any part of the world. And holding that intent allows something new to emerge, whatever that something new will be. When you join in with the laughter, change is possible. Some people feel like they have this impulse where they feel like they have to laugh at that step. You don't have to laugh. You know, it's more this place where you're, again, you're opening up. You're opening up to new possibilities. I often do laugh at this step, but I often just feel the places in me that can get so fixed on something happening. And if I'm just opening up to the way life is playing and the way it's moving, and, you know, possibilities enter in. Then the strands of change are freed, and the intent of the world, which is to heal, becomes possible. You know, it shows me that. I can feel things changing. I actually feel it going on in my body and around me. And I can feel how the world, which is always seeking to move to wholeness and moving to another state of wholeness, it becomes possible. The world goes about its business. Its business is light that no darkness opposes, because it does not illuminate something, but is the illuminating urge itself. You're going to have to experience that, but it's this place of where things just are. You know, things are just as they are, and there's more space. Things feel lighter, freer. Some people describe that with the bracketing process. They felt just lighter, freer, more open, more spacious, more able to meet the struggle or difficulty, more able to be there with it. That's kind of what happens at that step. And it encourages you then in the next step to stay there, stay there, stay there. Let yourself really revel in this place where it's everything's more open and more possibilities have entered in. You can feel then the next strands at play. Millions of images, let them flow by. You know, you don't have to fix on any of it. Just let whatever images come through. No control. It is not yours to do, but the purpose of the world itself. This is the place where you really can feel how much you and the world are one and how everything is working together to bring forward creation, new levels of life. To stand for good is to bear standing for change. You know, it's that place. You see it all around the world where we to stand for good is to bear standing for change, where we see things that don't work, processes that don't work. You know, we see racism as an example going on in the world. It doesn't work. To stand for good is to bear standing for change, to say this does not work. What's going on doesn't work. It's not the petty goodness of cardboard saints. What that's saying is, that doesn't mean that, again, I'm in charge. I'm some saint and someone gave me the great revelation and I know how the word should go. It's saying it's not coming from that place. But you're being honest that, you know, when it's doing nothing but creating pain and suffering, clearly something needs to change. Whether that's a personal thing in my life, you know, something I've been working with, or it's something in the world. It clearly needs to change. I know it needs to change. No one's made me the saint that's in charge, but I'm willing to engage with it. I'm willing to be one among all of the these other beings and join in life and work with and work towards new possibilities. No thinking is involved, but the illuminating thought to be. You just experience that. You experience it's like you're not being given 50 ideas about what to do, the right thing to do, or any of that kind of thing, but the illuminating thought to be. All I have to be is myself. Wise, foolish. Someone who knows stuff, someone who knows nothing. Someone who, you know, is clear, someone who's confused. The only thing I have to be is myself, right here. And I can participate in life. A thousand sensations will pass through your body. Feel them. It is the world working. And you really do feel lots of movement and sensation going on in the body. And you let that happen. It's part of what's going on. The world settled down is God. Now remember I talked about in the first class about how we hold that word. That has to do with reality. You could substitute in your mind the words reality, life as it is, the unity of life. The world settled down is whole. The world settled down is one. You could substitute any of those things. But what can also be helpful is that if the word God evokes difficulty or struggle or, you know, images of patriarchal images or whatever it invokes in you, that can also be useful, because coming into life doesn't mean I pretend that those things aren't there. Part of coming into life means that I know that they're there. I know that there are religious wars being fought. I know that that's there. So part of my ability to help is that I'm not in a fantasy that people aren't fighting over God. People are fighting over God. they're fighting over their ideas of God. So that's part of me being in life. And so, you know, if that's what appears for me, I let that appear. But sometimes also in my head, I'll hear, you know, reality, unity, oneness. And as all of those are completely acceptable. God is the ground. In the ground, you know, being here in life means I'm awake to all of what life is. I'm awake to reality. I'm choosing to be here in life, a participant, a co-creator. That's what it's saying to me. Once on the ground, God is in the air everywhere. My coming into life actually matters. Something that's very, you know, often people think that them, you know, one person can't make a difference, you know, and you've heard many stories about, you know, one person always makes a difference. It's one person. You know, you don't have to be Gandhi, but one person making a stand, coming into life makes a difference. And so it's saying, once you're here, you can feel the wholeness of life all around you. You can feel life and you're participating in it, and you can feel it and you're right here. Watch the safety of the world increase. This is what each thing and presence in the universe wants and is. And at this step, you really feel how, as one person who is imperfect, limited, and who at the same time loves life, my choosing to be here makes a difference. My life matters. And the life of that's all around me matters. And when I know that, the safety of the world increases. Because then I can honor the preciousness of each person, each creature, each tree, each movement of life, inner and outer. And I feel the beauty, exquisite beauty all around me. And safety increases because my compassion increases. My compassion for how hard it can be to be a human being and how extraordinarily precious it is to be a human being. And I feel my heart, my whole system opening up. Again, it's not Pollyanna. It's not idealistic, even though you may hear that in what I'm saying. But it's not, because I'm very, you know, because in settling down, I feel the agony of the world. I feel the pain, the sorrow, the things that need to change. I feel the hurt in the world. But I also know my capacity to help. Whatever that is, whether I'm helping one person or my role in life is to help thousands, I know I can show up and do it. I know it will sometimes be hard. I know that I won't always want to do it. But somehow, I'm part of life. And, you know, and that's what I have to know. I have to know that everything is valuable and that I value everything and everyone, and I'm going to participate in this life. Even if it's difficult, even if it's challenging, even if I don't want to do it, I'm still going to do it because I love life. Simple as that. And as hard as that. So that's what it's like. I mean, that's the process. You're going to have different experiences, as I said, at each one of those steps. I gave you some, you know, kind of framework for the steps just to help you understand kind of the movement and the way it goes. But you're going to need to have just whatever your experience is. If your experience is you get to that and go, what the heck was that step about? Or you get to it and you go, yeah, sure. Whatever your experience is, you get to have that experience. You know, so it needs to be honest. The 38 steps are really about being honest. So if you hate that step, love that step, confused by that step, get me the heck out of that step, whatever it is that you have, it's important that you have it. Because that's how it works you. That's how it heals. It doesn't heal by us being false or wiser than we are, or more enlightened than we are. It heals us by being who we are. Imperfect, precious beings. That's my description for human beings. So that's how it heals. And I love the Magi process. I think that's been obvious. But I love it because it is so organic. You know, I mean, I was raised on a farm, and organic processes that are practical, that are poetic and beautiful, you know, which is what you experience in nature, but are also, you know, changing and dynamic, and you don't know what's going on, and that, or organic, they work, that they actually work, always appeal to me. So for me, it's like being on the farm. It really is. Probably part of why I love it so much, because it is that natural, it is that practical. It does do something, and I like it. So I'm done with my description. But Star 6, tell me, I'd like to hear from a few people as I took you through it, questions you have in order for you to go and play with it, just thoughts that you have as I took you through it, anything. So I'm going to check in with Kathy. Kathy, Star 6 yourself, tell me if that was clear. Do you think there was anything that you would add to it for yourself? Because I know you do it a lot as well. And if not, that's fine. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just asking.
This is Sudha. It's very clear, Brenda.
Oh, good. Thank you, Sudha. Okay.
I just want to add on to that what you said about this Magi. I do also love this Magi process. I couldn't explain why, but every time I work with that, being with that, something else will happen, which I'm not even looking at. And it's not all the time what I like, but there is something resolves in a different way. That's the process I like. And last sentence, what you mentioned about being farmer, that actually connected to different realm now. My grandmother, grandparents, both sides are the farmers. I am so much a body-oriented person, feeling the sensations, being with that wrestling, it opens up new possibility and it frees me up.
Good. Happy to hear that, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Can you hear me, Brenda?
Yes, Candy.
Candy. Yeah, I wanted to say I really appreciate the specificity of your comments. Excuse me. When I learned the Magi process, it was much more sort of fuzzy and vague, and there's a certain beauty in that, but there's also a certain distance in that. And I've always found the mother-father a bit troubling, partly because it was hard to escape the personal, and while I know you don't really escape it, but it just, you know, it was kind of a sticky point.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, the word that came up for me, I don't know if you used it when you were talking about the first mother-father. Hold this up a minute. Remember the mother, not only the father, and then remember the father that is within you. The idea of something gestating, being surrounded and contained and in process, as opposed to the, you use the word thrust, but it's almost like the initiation, the flash, the spark, the movement. So it was kind of this, I sort of felt it in a, oftentimes when I think of things as impersonal, they get vaguer and more sort of ethereal and big. And what I liked about this was it allowed it to become more impersonal, which was helpful to me, but it was also, as you said, very organic, very grounded, very egg versus lightning, you know.
Absolutely. You do experience that. It's, you experience the egg and the sperm, you know. You experience the the bud, you know, of the tree, and then it popping open, and both are there, the mother and father. So yeah, it's a very organic organic process. So.
Yeah, I appreciated, because again, when I learned the magic, it was very poetic and ethereal, and I liked it, but it and I think I got, you know, it certainly shifted things for me, but this explanation allowed it to be both personal and impersonal in a way that was tangible, and that was I'm grateful, and I think that's a very important piece of the magi, that it's tangible as well as transcendent. It marries both of those.
Yep. I get
Super.
That.
Thank you.
I get that. Again, you know, why I'm often drawn to haiku poetry is because it's often usually about nature. It's often about nature. And I find that, you know, I'm sure for many people this is true, who's here in the group, I know it's true for many people in life, we learn so much from being in nature. We see things and the natural processes, but then we often feel so separate from it when we're going about our daily lives. And so even though, for me, the magi process, even though it's extremely poetic, it is extremely organic. It is what life does. And that's why, you know, it feels to me that it's so healing, because I feel like the tree in the field growing, and the corn growing, and the birds singing. You know, I'm another creature here in life doing its thing. So I like that.
Brenda, this is Ginny.
Hi, Ginny.
You talked in the second session about, you know, your bracketing process,
mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you're willing to talk about what happened during when you did the magic, completed the process on that.
I don't have those notes with me. I wasn't planning on that because I knew I was going to have to go through the 38 steps, and I wanted to make sure I had time to do that. I didn't bring them with me. I'll try to find those. I mean, I have them, but I just don't have them sitting right around me. And you know, maybe I'll share them on the forum I said I put out on the website. I'll put a little note out and say what happened. Because I honestly don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, because I've done three other processes since then.
Okay.
It's been a very active Magi week for me. There's been a lot of things up in my life. I've done the Magi. I think actually it's been more than three, because I've done it, I think, every day or every other day. So
oh.
I don't remember, honestly. But I'll look.
Okay.
Okay.
Brenda, this is Nancy.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi. I really wanted to thank you for doing these three sessions. Quite a few years ago, I used to do the Magi in a group with people once a week, and it feels like it really inspired me to try to get a group together to do it again, because I know I don't end up doing it by myself. It's too big a time commitment,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't do it. But it, you know, you giving your personal examples of how you worked particular steps today, mm-hmm. and as Candy was saying, kind of bringing the steps out of the wispiness that they were offered to us in, it feels like, originally, and getting a little more concrete while also opening up the avenues of potential abstraction within them was really useful just
yeah.
now. And I guess I want to put out there to whoever's on the call that I'd be interested in trying to form some kind of group to support each other in doing the Magi.
So what I suggest you do
is... I would like to join that, Nancy, if the times are suitable. I would love that. I mm-hmm. know that it is...
That's
community.
Good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. So my only suggestion to how you find each other is for you to put that out there, because I don't want to just print a list with people's names and their emails, because not everyone's going to want to do that.
Maybe I'll write to you and you can send my email out, because I don't have everybody's.
I can do that.
You know. email.
Yep, you do. You send that to me. I'll do that.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
But I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, and really thank you again for your dedication to making this more accessible to all of us.
You're most welcome. Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
This is Nora.
Yes?
I wasn't sure if I was really unmuted or not. I was just going to comment that when I first did this process a long time ago, it was when one of those times when Jason was put on the website that he wants an invitation for a lot of people to do it on a certain thing. And so it was put out in class that you could go there and get it and do it if you wanted to participate. And I had no, you know, idea what it was at all. And I went through that process that first time. I think it took me 45 minutes, and it was really like work. And I didn't, maybe I should have stopped after line 12, but I persevered through, and then I didn't do it again for a very long time. But I'm really, whenever I do it, I feel that I feel this very strong, I feel like I'm working. Like I'm really working when I do this, and that's kind of the reason why I haven't maybe done it as much as I would like. So I'm hoping by doing this class, you know, help me, because I just can feel how much it does work on me when I do it, mm-hmm. and I needed inspiration to really give it a try to see what kind of change I could effect in my life by using it.
Well, again, this is the kindness. We need to know that we do have resistance to change, both because it's built into the material plane and because personally we resist change even as we want change. And so, you know, what Nancy was saying is that sometimes it's very helpful to practice it with a group of other people because you get that support. And then, you know, and then you can keep working with it. And if you're not working with someone else, then it's helpful to sometimes just do it and then walk away. You know, I did it a lot this week, but, you know, I can sometimes go a while before I touch it again. And that's part of the kindness. I want it to support me in my life's journey. I don't want it to be just another chore I have to do or something that, you know, another chore. That's the best way I can put it. But my experience is it does support me, that even if I, you know, again, I can come, because I'm supposed to come exactly as I am, that's what it is, exactly as I am to the table, and be open to change, even as I'm resisting change. And that means I bring the one in me who just doesn't want to do it today. Sometimes that's actually what I bracket. I think I was talking about that a little bit last time. Sometimes what I bracket is, I don't want to do this. Somehow I think it's going to help me. Somehow I have a feeling that I need to do this. You know, it's like exercising, you know. Some days you want to do it, some days you won't. Don't. So it's like I can feel that this will help me. I can feel that this is going to be really, you know, supportive of me. But I don't really want to do it. You know, I want to go back to bed. And sometimes that's enough, you know. I bracket that and I work with that and I leave it be. And I walk away. You know, and sometimes I bracket that and I find myself, I just move easily into the 38 steps because that was enough. I just needed to grouse about it for a little bit. So, you know, be kind, you know, play with it a little bit. And if you find that it's more supportive to do it with other people, please do it with other people.
Okay. Thank you.
I do both things. I have one person I've been doing the Magi with once a week for, I'm going to say 6 years. And, you know, we miss some weeks, you know, because travel, you know, life. But when we can, we do it once a week. so.
Thank you.
Okay, darlings. I appreciate everyone who showed up, and I appreciate everyone who's listening to the recordings, whether you are new to a Society of Souls or you've been involved with the community for a long time. I appreciate your willingness to, you know, engage with the process, listen to it, and see where it takes you. So.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much, Brenda.
Brenda.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So thank you all. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate your presence, your showing up, your, thank you.
Thank you, Brenda.
Yeah,
okay,
thank
darling.
You, Brenda.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.